Our second scripture reading today comes from John 16, 4b. Yes, there's a B. Through 15. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own, but will speak whatever whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Holy wisdom, holy word. Hello, everyone. It is good to be back here preaching with you. I have been kind of all over the place recently. There's been a lot going on in my world. As I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I took the Bible content exam. 100 questions. You need to get 70. I got 59. Ugh. So I got to take that again. It's really just take it till you make it, so that's a good thing. And then I also, as you've heard last week, I have moved into the second phase of becoming an ordained pastor, which is a candidate, and I was like, yeah. So I'm very, thank you. I'm very excited about that. And, oh, thanks. And I also moved. I now actually live in Camp Meeker, and so in a cute little A-frame cabin that has no insulation, but it's absolutely beautiful, and I absolutely love it. It's just this beautiful little cabin that a friend is letting me rent from them, and I'm just so thankful to have my own space for a little bit. And of course, it's right around the corner from Westminster Woods, so I'm a huge fan of that as well. But something that's a little, like, I have to regain my forest living skills, you know? It's like, because I now live in the forest, so I have to think about, okay, when I get home, I go right upstairs, I gotta go right upstairs, turn on the little electric heater. And then I come downstairs and I like sit in front of the wood-burning stove. I sit in front of the wood-burning stove and I have to make a fire. And I was like, how do I make a fire again? Oh no, I am not sure how to do this. And it's taken me some time to relearn how to live in the forest. But I find myself actually in this new rhythm where I do get home and I have to spend 20 to 30 minutes tending to this fire, making sure that, you know, reading the wood, and is it telling me that I need to add more kindling? Is it telling me that I need to, you know, not smother it? Where's my, like, I don't have a newspaper, so what do I do about that? It might need some, you know, so it's just been this time where I'm now just sitting there and resting in this place of tending to this fire, to allow its heat to fill my home. I've gotten pretty good at it, I have to admit. The beginning was a bit rough, but I'm not an ice cube, so as you can see. So I have been working at this. And I don't believe that it is any coincidence that in our biblical text, the fire is always connected to the Holy Spirit. And I recognize I am talking about fire, and I want to honor what's happening in the room. And I recognize that we have dealt with a lot when it comes to fires recently. So if there's something that's not settling with you, and I'm talking about fire, and you need to check out and play Sudoku on your phone, if you need to, I just want to honor and recognize that we're still processing what happened in October. And so if you, whatever you need to do, if you need to leave, I get it, as we continue to talk about this. I just want to give space for that. So as we dive into our scripture, we're actually jumping in to John, the book of John, at a time when Jesus is kind of monologuing. And I feel like he just talks a lot. Have you noticed? If you look in your NIV Bible that has the red, like Jesus, what Jesus spoke is in red. It's like a lot of red during these pages, and it actually starts in John 13 with Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and then it ends in John 17 with Jesus having a prayer about to God, about his disciples, and ultimately about us. And it's this beautiful, I mean long, but beautiful monologue of Jesus kind of walking the disciples through what's happening next. And it's interesting because he, even in this text that he said here, he says that no one is asking me where I'm going. And it's like, actually, that's not true. Thomas did, like, two chapters ago, and he asked you where he was going, and you were like, I cannot tell you because it is with the Father, or something like that. And you're just like, dude, why are you making things so complicated? And I think I figured it out. This is near the end of Jesus' story, on earth, specifically. It's, you know, and he knows what's going to happen next. He has the whole story in his head. But the disciples are still in a place of not really getting it. And I almost sense Jesus' anxiety in this moment. And I know we don't like to talk about the humanity of Jesus very much. But what I love is that I think Jesus had some anxiety here. They're not getting it. I need to make sure that they hear everything right now. They're still not getting it. I'm just going to verbally throw up on them so they get all the information. And have you ever felt like that? You know something is going to happen. Something's coming up for you. And you know how it's going to turn out. But nobody around you seems to get it. And I resonate with Jesus in this moment. I'm like, yeah, I had to go take a trivia test about the Bible. And not everybody really got it, and I'm trying to explain it. I mean, yeah, it's not on the same level as Jesus. I mean, he was, you know, we know the story. But that anxiety, you can feel it as Jesus is speaking. What I love also is that in this long, you know, five or six chapters, this is not the first time that we hear about the Holy Spirit. We actually also hear about the Holy Spirit in chapter 14. And if you want to open your Bibles, mine is a piece of paper that I printed. If you want to open your Bibles, it's in chapter 14, and it starts in 14, verse 15. But the part that I want to read to you is is verse 25. It says, I have said these things to you while I am still with you. He says that a lot in this, if you've noticed. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That feels weird. Wasn't that Jesus' job? I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Maybe there's more to learn, and the Holy Spirit... Okay, now I get it. I think we're talking about job descriptions. Who's ever done HR? Anybody? We got one. Nobody? Nobody else. All right. Oh, Kim in the back. This is job descriptions right here. Christ is talking in this monologue of his. He is talking about how his glory has been filled. And he goes, God, I did my work. Your turn. Says that a couple times in here. That's the Cassie version of it. He also goes on to talk about the disciples' responsibility. They need to continue my work. And then he talks about the Holy Spirit and says, but they can't do it alone. They need the Holy Spirit. They need the advocate working with them to move forward and spread this news, this good news that we have. Okay, so Jesus is leaving. It even says in our passage today that it brought the disciples sorrow that Christ was leaving. I bet that I would feel the same way. If I was hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, and all of a sudden he's like, yeah, and by the way, I'm leaving. And you're like, what? That's not cool. I would be sad. And he says, no, when I leave, you are going to receive the Holy Spirit. You are going to receive the advocate that I send. You're going to receive someone that is going to help you even more. It's going to teach you even more than what I have taught you. I think oftentimes we go, oh, here's this book of this Bible. The story's over. We did it. Good job. We locked it down. We wrote it in words. We're done. But what Christ is actually saying is there's more to be done. There's more to learn. We can't be restricted by the story that we think is over. I'm going to say that again. We cannot be restricted by the story that we think is over. Because we are actually the ones continuing the story with the help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes as Presbyterians, we have a hard time receiving that. Ooh, the Holy Spirit is not very academic. The Holy Spirit is not logical. The Holy Spirit is not decent and in order. The Holy Spirit's a little sassy. The Holy Spirit is unpredictable. How do we do this? How do we recognize the Holy Spirit's presence here with us? I organized the service today. I made us all say words about the Holy Spirit filling this room. But what does that mean? How do we know? Do we need to know? Mystery is hard. Mystery is hard. And especially in today's world where we specifically seek an answer. We want certainty. We want things to be very specific so that we can have a little bit of control. That's really hard for me. I like being in control. I like knowing what's coming next. I'm in a relationship. I know, it's very exciting. He's very cute. Do you know what happens when you get in a relationship? You have to, work things out with another person. I know, seems obvious. It is much more difficult than I remember. He is his own person. He gets to make his own decisions, and I don't get to control his decision making. He gets to decide if he's going to be on time or not. I like being on time. He's more like, hey, we'll be there, it's fine. I don't get to be in control in that situation. There's a bit of mystery there, and maybe the Holy Spirit is teaching me something in that. Uh-oh. I wonder what it means that the Holy Spirit is intimately connected with this concept of fire. The Pentecostal power that came down in Acts and was huge, vital impact for the future of the church. As I'm sitting in front of my wood-burning stove, feeding it all of these things, trying to make it last through the night so that I'm not an ice cube in the morning, are we listening to the Holy Spirit? Are we tending to the Holy Spirit? Are we aware? Are we paying attention to where we're seeing kindling that we need to scoop up a little bit and pay attention to? Are we smothering the Holy Spirit? Are we keeping its fire from burning? Are we putting too much tradition? Are we putting too much expectancy? Are we putting too much, I just don't wanna, on the fire of the Holy Spirit? It might be different for each one of us. But for me, I know when I'm paying attention to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit challenges me to do things that are outside of my comfort zone. Challenges me to do things that make me a little nervous sometimes, because then I'm more seen in as a Christian. Or I'm more understood as someone who's a little weird, which I'm usually okay with being weird. There was a time in college where I was walking from my dorm room. I went to Simpson University in Reading. And I was walking to my dorm room, and there was this young man walking this way, just next, you know, alongside, and just do-do-do-do-do, and he had a manila envelope in his hand. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I had this weird thought in the back of my head that said, ask him about what's in the envelope. Huh? No? Just ask him. I am not going to. And so now I'm having like a weird conversation in my head, and I'm like, what is happening? And I refused, absolutely not. And I just made my way to the library. No, thank you. I will not be the weirdo that asks some random guy about his manila envelope. I don't want to know what's in there. But now, 20 years later, no, 15, I don't know. How old am I, 34? Nobody knows. I wonder, was that the Holy Spirit saying, hey, here's a piece of kindling, put this on the fire so you can pay attention to me more, so you can be a little bit more aware of when I nudge you next time? I'm encouraging you all the time, Cassie. Come on, just ask about the manila envelope. You might think it was just coincidence. You might think it was just a weird Cassie moment in my head, but for me, it was a moment of going, I missed it. I missed the Holy Spirit's leading in that moment. Not only did I miss it, I refused it. And I'm sad about that. I wonder what I could have learned next in that moment. I wonder what this Holy Spirit moment could have opened up for me. I will never know. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is tugging on each of our hearts and putting us in different situations and nudging us in different moments and directions all the time. And in our political climate, we need the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. In our political climate, we need the Holy Spirit. In this passage, in this chunk of monologue, this is where Jesus Christ talks about, they will know you are Christians by my love. How are we loving people in this time, in this moment now? There are a lot of people that I disagree with out there. And I'm sure that in this room, we all have different opinions and directions that we would go in politically. But as Christian, they will know I am a Christian by my love. How am I loving the person that I disagree with on Facebook well? I heard a giggle. How am I loving my family member that I disagree with drastically well? How am I showing that I am a Christian by Christ's love? By listening to the Holy Spirit. Because I know the Holy Spirit's in my head saying, in my heart saying, shh. Or now's the time to say something. Or delete that. We need the Holy Spirit more than ever. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is guiding you, is tugging on you, is pulling you, is nudging you in small different directions so that we can continue this story of love. So that we, because God is not done. The story is not over. Just because there's a last page in the Bible does not mean that the story is done and we have work to do. The Holy Spirit is guiding us, and we need to tend to that Holy Spirit well so that we can be a part of that flame and spread God's love throughout our church, throughout Santa Rosa, and throughout the world. How are you tending to the Holy Spirit? Let us pray. Creator God, we thank you that we are not alone in the continuation of this story, that we are not done yet, that you are not done with us yet, and that this story of love will continue because we will show the world that we are your disciples through the love that we share and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be with us now. Tug, nudge, pull on our hearts, direct us, guide us. We are open and available. We love you, God. And everyone said, amen.